Today, our missions focus, I mentioned last week, we're going to have some very, very special missionary guests with us today. And those guests are Pastor Henry and Emma, our own youth pastors. And just real briefly, almost a year and a half ago, not quite, we started talking to Pastor Henry about the possibility of coming and helping us with the youth. And we sure would love to have his fiance to come do that too, if she wanted to. And we went through a couple months process of doing that. And so we brought them on as interns the beginning of the year to see how that would work. And it worked so well. And we said, yes, come. And so they came to be our youth pastors last June. They got married in July. And they've been doing a great job. And as we have already shared, maybe 2 months ago now, they came to us and said, you know what? God's been laying something on our heart about going to work with young people, with an organization called Young Life in Germany. The students, the young people, the children, teenagers of our military service people. And we reluctantly and everything gave them our blessing. We never want to hold somebody back from the direction God has for them. They're still with us, obviously, will be for a little while longer. They're in the midst of their fundraising process. And we told them at the very beginning that we wanted them to be able to share with you their hearts, their vision, their passion for what God is leading them to do. And it worked out really good to do that this Sunday, since we got called out of the state this last week for an emergency. And so anyway, as we have mentioned along the way, we as a church are going to be supporting them. Their initial commitment, my understanding, is for 3 years. And so we as a church have decided we're going to support them at the same level we support all the rest of our ministries, all the rest of our missionaries, okay? And so as you give to missions every month, you're supporting 60-something missionaries and missions projects around the world, and one of them will be Pastor Henry and Emma and their work in Germany. All right. We also encouraged you to plan today or in the next couple of weeks to give an offering. Just like other missionaries, they have to raise monthly support, but they also have to raise a cash budget. They're right in the middle of the process, and we want to give them a nice bump right now, right here, this month. So as God leads you, would you please today on your way out, if you haven't already done so, or online, those of you that are home, or sometime in the next couple of weeks, give something specifically toward their cash budget. You can market Pastor Henry and Emma, whatever way you want to market that, we'll know it's for them. Okay? Now, one last thing. If God lays it on your heart as an individual to support them monthly for the next 3 years, you need to do that individually with them. All right? So talk to them personally, and they'll let you know how you can do that. So at this time, I'm going to invite Emma and Pastor Henry. I don't know. I know Emma's going to come up and share the vision and stuff. Pastor Henry's going to end up preaching, but I'm going to turn it over to them, and I'm not going to come back to the very end of the service. Can we give it up for Pastor Henry and Emma? They've been doing such a great job with our young people.
Thank you. Well, we are honored and so blessed to be able to share with you. I'm excited to share a little bit more about Young Life and Club Beyond and all those things. Do you have anything to say?
I just wanted to thank all of you guys for welcoming us into this church and allowing us to speak into your students' lives. I'm very grateful to have had this opportunity and grateful to continue doing it until we leave. And I'm going to let Emma do all the details, and I'll be back to preach.
All right, so like we said, we're so grateful to be able to be sharing our vision with you today, and I'm so grateful that this church is supporting us. It's actually a real stress relief, because no matter how I do it presenting, I'm still getting support, so thank you guys. So I want to share more about Young Life and what Club Beyond is, but I want to share my heart with you first and how we got to here and now. So in the summer of my senior year, I volunteered to be part of a work crew with Young Life at a family camp in Trail West in Colorado. And Young Life is basically just a Christian ministry that primarily reaches middle school and high school kids and college kids sometimes. There are several different arms or facets of Young Life that reach different groups of kids from different backgrounds, but the mission is the same. And it's to reach young people for Jesus. So a few examples of those arms or facets of Young Life is Young Life reaches high school, Wildlife reaches middle school students, Young Lives reaches teen moms, And then Young Life Military Club Beyond reaches military teens. And then Capernaum is young people with disabilities. So those are just a few examples of how far the organization reaches. But anyways, back to Trail West. So Work Crew is for high school age teens willing to serve campers for a session during the summer. And it involves a lot of hard physical work. There's different jobs like serving, outdoor crew, housekeeping. So everything you need basically to keep a summer camp running is what we did. So it was one of the most impactful summers of my life. I grew so much in my relationship with Jesus over that month. They took away our phones, so we didn't have any connection to the outside world. So it actually gave us a lot of time during our rest breaks to pursue Jesus and spend that quality time with him. And that's what I did. So I have never heard Jesus speak to me more clearly during that time. And I went into this experience asking God two things. I was asking him to confirm if my boyfriend Henry was the one for me to commit my life to, and I was also asking him to confirm and clarify what he wanted me to do during or whenever I graduated for youth ministry. So that's what I went into it asking, and looking back, it's amazing how faithful he was, because my little agenda of trying to figure out, what does God want me to do? Am I going to marry Henry? Like, all those things, he was faithful to answer, but not in my timing. And I'll talk about that later. But it reminds me of the verse, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. And that's 2 Timothy 2:13. So I felt God calling me to be involved with Young Life, specifically military teens. And I didn't know what that looked like or the timing of it, but I couldn't shake the burden that I felt. So when I got back to Florida, I became more involved with my local Young Life to better understand their ministry. But I had a boyfriend, Henry. College was starting soon, and other things needed to happen first. So as time went on, I began to doubt my calling. I doubted the burden on my heart for military teenagers. And I doubted that God had spoken to me so clearly, because I had never heard him speak to me that way before. After I doubted that, I kind of forgot about it and suppressed it. But you kind of know the story from here. We became interns at Marion Oaks. Henry became the youth pastor. We got married. It was great. Life is busy, and I graduated college. And then after that, I felt the odd burden again just kind of come out of nowhere. I felt God reigniting a desire in my heart to reach military teenagers for Jesus. It was kind of like God was tapping on my shoulder like, hey, remember what we talked about those summers ago, like just a few years ago? Remember that? God confirmed over and over again through months of prayer and talking with family and friends that this call was real. So you might be asking yourself, this is really sweet and cool, but why military? Because I'm not a military brat. My parents didn't serve. My grandparents didn't serve in the military. But it should be noted, before going to Work Crew, I had very minimal Young Life experience. I didn't really have a ton of experience with it. My only exposure to Young Life was through my uncle, who did military teen ministry with Club Beyond in, guess where, Germany. So I went and visited him and his family for a month when I was 16. And looking back, I see that my exposure to Club Beyond from a young age was not an accident. It was God. So that's our why. That's why we're doing this, because, in short, we've been called. So I see the first slide is up, if you want to go ahead and go to the next slide. To recap, Young Life is a Christian ministry that reaches middle school and high school kids in all 50 states in more than 100 countries around the world. Now, Club Beyond is the arm of Young Life that reaches military kids. It's celebrating life with military teenagers, cheering them on, providing adventure and friendship, and the life-changing message of God's love for them. If you want to go ahead and go to the next slide. Club Beyond's mission is to go where kids are. This means attending games, going on school campuses, building personal relationships with kids, and seeing and inviting them to a weekly event called Club, which I'll get into in a second. Celebrating life with teenagers who sometimes contemplate the meaning and value of their own life is a gift, and Club Beyond does this very well. By living life with them and inviting them on adventures, it helps kids cope with their very transient circumstances. Introducing them to the life giver means earning the right to be heard by investing in personal relationships with military teens so that every kid gets a chance to be introduced to the good news of Jesus. Club Beyond incorporates these three things in a matter of three ways: clubs, campaigners, and camp. Club can be summed up as a party with a purpose. It's loud music, crazy games, leaders in skits and costumes, singing at the top of your lungs, and then at the end, a presentation of the gospel, introducing who Jesus is and what he did for us. Club is for the kid who wants nothing to do with Jesus. Club is for the kid who doesn't want to go to church. Club is for the kid who needs someone and an environment to ground themselves in. So Campaigners is a weekly Bible study for kids who want to go deeper, who want to develop their relationship with Jesus more, or who are just curious and want to open the Word of God with us every week. So you can think of it as Club, more evangelical side of it, reaching out further, and then Campaigners is more discipleship, mentorship, one-on-one, or small group. And then Camp is what you would probably think of as a typical church camp. It aims to be the best week of your life, and they do that by going all out, games, skits, ski trips, excursions, and going hard for Jesus all week long. So that's Club Beyond's mission, and that's kind of how they go about doing it. I also want to add that Henry and I, for a more personal mission, we would love to see a whole military community change, not just these kids, but also serving their families as well. So that's our personal heart also. If you want to move on to slide 4, I want to talk about a military family's reality a little bit. All teenagers have similar struggles and thoughts. High school, general anxiety, finding your place in the world. So what is specific and special about military teenagers? Most military families move every 2 to 3 years. Asking a military kid where they're from is a complicated question. You might get an "I don't know," or you might get, "Well, I was born in Germany, but I was raised for most of the time in Brussels, and then we moved to Texas." Like, they don't really have a home. Pile on the heightened pace of military operations, it makes a teenager's world a lot more complex. Club Beyond is special because it aims to be the constant in their ever-changing world. I find it very alarming and very motivating that children in military families experience high rates of mental health and trauma. About 30% report feeling sad or hopeless almost every day for 2 weeks during the past 12 months. Nearly 1 in 4 report having considered suicide. 37% of children with a deployed parent report that they seriously worry about what might happen to their deployed mom and dad. The need to provide a safe environment for military teens to ground themselves in a safe environment and find consistency in that environment and find familiarity is real because of how transient their life is. If you can move to the next slide. Club Beyond's presence at different locations around the world and the United States creates continuity so that when a military has to leave their current community, that means it doesn't have to end the fellowship of being with other believers. It's the start of new friendships in a space they know is safe and familiar. On the next slide, I have a video. I hope it works, but if it doesn't, it's fine. But if you could try playing that video on the next slide, it has basically what I've been talking about in military kids' own words. So I don't know if it's up. If it doesn't play, it's okay. I'll just keep moving on. All right. So it doesn't look like it's going to work, but that's okay. So the next slide, I want to talk about more about what it's going to take for us to get over there and make ministry happen. Pastor Tim already mentioned we've made a 3-year commitment to live in Germany and to do ministry with military teens. And without an adult support team here in the United States consistently praying for us, ministry becomes a lot harder. So the budget, you see, is an annual comprehensive budget. Our annual operating budget comes to a total of $84,300. Club Beyond has generously committed $13,500, and that is the annual budget. And they have asked us to raise the remaining $70,800. This budget includes everything we need to do ministry with military teens in Germany. If you can move on to slide 8. I'm including a simplified pie chart of the budget breakdown because I think it's cool and interesting and helpful for you to know. You will notice that the pie chart is divided into two sections. 11% is part of your giving that goes to things like equipping staff, training, financial services, income processing, legal services, human resources, all that good stuff. The other 89% goes to direct local expenses, or in other words, money we'll be using in Germany to make things happen, to make ministry happen. This includes events and activities that kids go through throughout the year, club supplies, training for volunteers, because yes, we will need adult volunteers when we get over there to help us, a salary and benefits, and then a housing supplement is included for international staff people, which is obviously what we're doing because we're moving to Germany. So with all that being said, I want to thank Pastor Tim and Jan for allowing me to share my heart and my testimony and our goals. I'm excited to hear Henry share his heart because I already know his message is going to be really good. And partnering with us, if you want to partner with us in prayer or if you want to get with me or Henry after service, I would love to get your contact information because even if you just want to partner just to, like, hear what we're doing and, like, stay up to date with us, I would love to just get your contact information. So just see one of us after church. And thank you so much for hearing our heart and hearing what I have to say. So.
Well, good morning, church. How are you guys? Good, good. Well, you guys are getting a lot of me recently. I'm noticing a pattern here. Each consecutive time I've preached, I've been given less and less time to prepare. I think Pastor Tim is kind of preparing me for one of these days. He's just going to drop it on me the day before and, hey, I need you to preach tomorrow. I see what you're doing, Pastor Tim. I see what you're doing. No, but before I preach this morning, I felt it would be important to kind of share my side of the story of how Germany came about. I know Emma shared a lot about her side, but I'd like to share a little bit about my side of how we came to the decision we came to. So as Emma began to feel specifically called to this ministry, she brought it up to me, and I was initially, and still am, supportive. I'm not just sharing that for brownie points. I really was and still am very supportive. I wanted her to go for it. I knew she felt called, and I didn't want to be the one to hinder that. Although I was supportive, the decision itself was incredibly hard to make. I personally struggled to come to a conclusion, and that's not to say that it was super easy on her or super simple on her, but it just really took a toll on me. There were so many variables and so many questions. I found myself asking God, are you sure about this? Like, I was born and raised in Florida. I don't think I'm ready for Germany, right? Like, I have grown up in Ocala my entire life. Like, I've never lived anywhere else. Like, and now you want me to move overseas to Germany. Like, are you sure about this, God? And I found myself telling him, God, this better be you. If this is not you, you better make this abundantly clear. Like, if there were ever a time that I was going to hear the audible voice of God, this better be now because I'm not about to move to Germany out of nowhere unless you are willing it, unless this is what you have called us to do. But as the weeks added up, I'm sad to say I never heard the audible voice of God. He began to really provide us with clarity, and it became clear to both me and Emma that this is what he wanted us to do. This is what God was calling us to do. Now, that is the super oversimplified story for sake of time, but the point I'm trying to make is that this was not a simple decision. It took several months to make, many conversations with family, trusted friends, many sleepless nights. It can be easy to see the finished product of us fundraising and on mission, and yes, we're going to Germany, and not see the countless hours that were put into making the initial decision. All that to say, this is our calling, And although we are sad to be leaving family, friends, sad to be leaving this church, we are excited to see what God is going to do over the course of the next 3 years in our lives as we grow and mature as believers, but also in the lives of military teens and military families overseas. So in light of our mission, I wanted to share something with you that God has been sharing with me over the last several months, something that I have truly never really seen as important, but something that is essential for kingdom living, a principle that is necessary for kingdom work. And this principle is the power of partnership. The power of partnership. Now, when we think of partnership, I think the first thought we primarily go to is partnering financially, right? And that is exactly what I'm going to be preaching to you about this morning. I'm kidding. It's not going to be one of those messages, I promise. I'm not sure if anyone has ever been in a service where there were missionaries or evangelists, and they do their spiel, right? And then lo and behold, the Holy Spirit has just led them to speak on the importance of giving. It's not going to be one of those messages, okay? I've never witnessed it, but I've heard stories of it happening. And on behalf of those who don't want to do that, I'd like to say I'm sorry if you have experienced that kind of message. Well, in order to avoid that sort of scenario, I want to frame partnership in a broader context, because there's more ways we can partner than just financially, and there's more people we can partner with other than missionaries, evangelists, and nonprofit organizations. Oftentimes, I think partnership is put in a box, and by that I mean that whenever we as believers think of partnership, the first avenue that comes to mind is partnering with a missionary. Some may think of partnering with an evangelist, or a pastor, or a church as an entity. Some may think of a nonprofit organization. These are all valid partnerships. In fact, those are the main partnerships we often partake in. But the kingdom of God is made up of more than just missionaries, evangelists, and nonprofit organizations. Before I continue, I'd like to say that I am by no means saying that partnering with missionaries or evangelists or organizations is wrong, because in a way, me and Emma are going to be missionaries to military teens, so we need support. And it isn't wrong to give support to missionaries, evangelists, and nonprofit organizations, right? God has called these people to go, and they have obeyed his call, and he has called people to partner with them so that they can do the work he has called them to do. All I simply want to do over the next 20 minutes or so is expand our view of partnership, because it's more than exclusively partnering with people doing big things. The body of Christ extends out further than a few callings. The question you may be asking yourself at this point then is, who then can I partner with? I maybe should have done this to begin with, but I want to quickly define what I mean by partnership. Partnership occurs when two or more people come together in order to accomplish something that neither of them could do alone. I read it this way: when people or groups of people partner together, it gives them the capability and the strength to do something that did not or could not exist before. That is partnership, and that is the heart of partnership. So who are these people then? I'm going to be honest, I did not spend, you know, hours upon hours on end thinking about this, but as I was brainstorming, I created a list of several groups of people. The first group, and this may come as a shock or a surprise to some of you, and some of you may squirm in your seats after hearing this, but the first group of people we can partner with is our families. Our families. Here's a radical thought. What if we partnered with our family to reach the neighborhood we live in? What if we partnered with our spouse to effectively minister and disciple our children? What if we partnered with our brothers and our sisters or our siblings to reach other brothers and sisters and other siblings? What if we partnered with our sons and our daughters to reach their teammates and their classmates and their teammates' families and their classmates' families? Imagine if you partnered with your family to reach and disciple right where God has you. I think oftentimes we get this idea that only the pastor's families, only the missionary's families can do ministry together. No, you can partner with your family to do ministry right where God has you, right in Marion Oaks. The second group of people we can partner with is our church. Now, obviously, we already partner with our church as an entity. We give, right? We tithe. We do those things. But I'm talking, we can partner with other people in our congregation who God has called to do specific things in this community. We can partner with each other, not just the church, not just Marion Oaks Assembly, but other people in our congregation to help them do what God has called them to specifically do right here in Marion Oaks. The third group of people we can partner with is our friends. Friends who have visions and dreams. Friends who are being used by God right where they're at. I know you guys know people or have friends that God is using right where they are at. You can partner with your friends. We can partner with our neighbors, with our coworkers who are believers who have been called by God right where they're at. We can partner with our neighbors and our coworkers. And lastly, we can even partner with other churches. What would happen in this community if we partnered with every church, with one church? We may not believe the same exact doctrines, but we all believe in Jesus and what he did for us and who he was and who he is. What would it look like in Marion Oaks if we partnered with other churches? Notice who I didn't mention. I didn't mention evangelists. I didn't mention career missionaries. Although, in a way, a lot of us should evangelize. We should be missionaries right where we're at. And I didn't mention any nonprofit organizations. The kingdom progresses when we form partnerships and relationships to accomplish what otherwise wouldn't have been accomplished on our own. That is the power of partnership. So we have the who. We now know, if you didn't know before, who we should partner with. We partner with the body of Christ, people with different assignments than ourselves, so that we can collectively move the gospel forward. But now let's take a look at what. What does being a partner entail? How can we be better partners? And for that, I'd like to turn to Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12. I'm sure some of you guys can quote this word for word, but I'm going to read it. Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. Before I get into the what specifically, I want to highlight the importance of the triple braided cord. A lot of commentators suggest that this is speaking of the Holy Spirit, because when we think of two people, it's like, okay, there's two people, but who's that third person? Where's that third thing coming from? And they comment that this is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is chiefly significant in every partnership we develop. Without the Holy Spirit, our bond or our partnership with others would not be at its full potential. Without the Holy Spirit, we would not be able to fully help each other, to fully comfort each other, to fully fight for and with each other. The Holy Spirit is necessary if our partnerships are to be everything God has intended them to be. Our mission and our partnerships are that much more effective with the Holy Spirit than without. So as we seek to partner with other believers, whether that be our families, our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, let us remember to invite the Holy Spirit and allow him the freedom to guide and direct and sustain our partnerships as he sees fit. So what does a partnership look like? Firstly, partners help each other succeed. The passage says in verse 9 that they help each other succeed. I love that, and I'm very challenged by that. I think in today's Christian culture, even in culture in general, there's this competitive spirit around calling or purpose or whatever word you want to use for that. What we see, and I think social media is a huge component of this, is that there are Christians, right, who have this calling. God has called them to do something specifically. But what happens is they come along and they see someone with a bigger calling or a flashier calling. And what happens is this person sees another person's calling and says, God, why can't I be called to something like that? Why can't I do what they're called to do? Completely undermining the importance of what God has called them to do. What's funny is, yes, it seems bigger and it seems more important, but the fact of the matter is that that bigger calling is no more important than what God has called that person to do. They are both significant to the kingdom. Two are better than one. They help each other succeed. We have to stop competing if we want the kingdom to advance the way it's supposed to advance. Partners don't compete against one another. They help each other. They cheer for each other. They are actively involved in each other's ministry. They speak truth over one another. They want what is best for one another, and in doing so, they want what is best for the kingdom. Secondly, partners keep each other warm. Now, I'm not going to interpret this quite literally, because let's face it, if I'm, say for instance, over in cold Germany, right, depending on the time of year, and you all are sitting here in sunny Florida any time of the year, there is no way you guys can keep me warm. But what I think Solomon is getting at here is the warmth of not being alone, the warmth of communion, the warmth of support and encouragement, the warmth of being the body of Christ, the family of Christ. We may be physically apart, physically separated, but spiritually, we are never, ever alone. How do we then keep each other warm? For one, we can pray for one another. We can encourage one another. Sorry. We are never alone. I can rest in the fact that even though we will be thousands of miles away, we have a community of believers back home soaking our ministry in prayer and encouragement. But don't let it stop there. This goes for those who are physically close as well. Pray for your friends, encourage your families, support other churches, fellowship with your neighbor. These are all things we can do right here, right now. Thirdly, if the worship team wants to come back up, or Nathaniel, thirdly, partners can stand back to back and conquer. On your own, you are vulnerable and defenseless. With others, though, you can withstand whatever the enemy throws your way. Throughout the Bible, our faith is sometimes pictured as this war, or more specifically, as this fight. And here's the thing, you can't win a war or you can't win a fight by yourself. You need those who will train you, those who will coach you, those who will fight alongside you, those who will watch your back, those who will push you to do your very best. Much like a war or a fight, we need those same people in whatever God calls us to do. We need people who will teach us, people who will coach us, people who will push us, people who will come alongside of us and fight with us and fight for us. This goes hand in hand with why we should partner with other believers. We cannot do this alone. You and I cannot do what God has called us to do alone. We need each other. We need people to help us succeed. We need people to keep us warm. We need people to watch our back, to fight for us, and to fight with us. And the bottom line is that they need us too. Jesus needed the disciples. Well, he didn't quite need the disciples, but he chose them. Paul needed partners. The great heroes of the faith needed partners. We, you and I, we need each other. We cannot go to the ends of the earth alone. We cannot make disciples alone. We cannot increase the kingdom by ourselves. But we can do it together. Each person doing what they are called to do, but in partnership with one another. Praying over each other, uplifting each other, encouraging each other, supporting each other, comforting each other, challenging each other, helping each other, and loving each other. This is the power of partnership. When people or groups of people partner together, it gives them the capability and the strength to do something that did not or could not exist before. So I want to do something a little different as I close. I want to actually pray over you. I know that you're going to be praying for us. You'll support us. I know that because you have that. That is the heart of this church. You guys are so supportive, so encouraging, so loving and kind. But I, as the partner goes two ways. I want to do something. I want to pray over you before we end. So after I pray, we're going to do what we normally do. We'll have a regular altar call. And Pastor Tim, Pastor Jan, my wife, the elders will come up and we'll pray. But before we get into that, I want to pray over you. So if you could stand for me. I'm going to stretch my hand out and I'm going to pray over you as a church, as Marion Oaks Assembly of God, to continue doing what you're doing, to take the gospel into this community, to love this community, to change this community for the kingdom of God. Father God, I just lift up this church as they are so faithful to support, so faithful to encourage, so faithful to do what you have called them to do. God, you know their heart of giving, their heart of encouragement. God, I pray that you would bless them as they do ministry right here in Marion Oaks. God, I pray that you would encourage them. I pray that you would strengthen them. God, I pray that you would fill each and every single one of them with your Spirit so that they may reach this community for your name, for your glory. God, I pray that you would guide them, direct them, lead them as they minister to this community. God, I pray that when people think or hear of Marion Oaks Assembly of God, that they would associate that with your love, with your grace, with your joy, with your compassion. Help your people to be your hands and feet right here in Marion Oaks. Give them courage and boldness as they do that. God, I pray that you would bless them in whatever they put their hands to. God, we love you. We thank you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're going to open up the altars. Nathaniel is going to play a song. If you need prayer for anything, encouragement for anything, I encourage you to come up so we can pray for you or encourage you.
Hallelujah, Lord, we love you today. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for your challenge, your encouragement to us today. God, I pray that we would take it to heart, that we would not look at our relationships with other believers, Lord God, whether family relationships, neighbors, people in the church, whatever. It's just relationships, as important as those are, but it's partnerships. How can I best love and support that other believer? And God, I know that there'll be different levels, Lord God. Some will be just a passing support perhaps, but others you will call us to be there for them, to be a prayer partner, to help them in whatever way in which they're serving you, just as there will be those that will do us for us. But God, I just pray that you would knit us together as a church more strongly than ever before. We thank you for that, Lord God.